A lot of us don't have access to the market, so we've got protocol issues and market access issues. So longer term, once we can get into those markets, it'll be great for us. But the big challenge now is to go back, not to DFAT, but to go back to the Department of Agriculture, say, look, we've now got access to the Korean market, we've got access to the Japanese market. How do we accelerate getting a protocol, particularly a protocol that handles fruit fly, in those markets so we can take advantage of them?
It's also recommended in this inquiry report that the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade needs to formally involve peak industry bodies like the nut sector, the cherries, the grapes, the citrus, and so on. What's your reaction to that? Because that does seem to fly in the face of what happens now, which is they involve the overarching body, which is Horticulture Innovation Australia.
Look, I think it's important that they engage at the outset, that there has been broad consultations, and the consultations tend to filter back through the Department of Agriculture, their market access area. But I do think they need a broader engagement, whether that's with the peak industry bodies or with Horticulture Innovation Australia. Horticulture, we believe, needs a bigger voice. And one of the reasons, obviously, for establishing the voice of horticulture is to make sure we're up there getting equal footing with the National Farmers Federation.
Has Horticulture Innovation Australia Limited, has it shown enough leadership in trying to establish these trade markets?
Look, it's a very new area for Horticulture Innovation Australia. They're still finding their way in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture. I think it's going to take some time to get into that role. They're still in the process of appointing senior staff with trade expertise, but longer term, it will certainly help consolidate a better understanding of the industry, a better understanding of those commodities within horticulture that are ready and have a business case for exports, so they can work more closely with the Department of Agriculture to help with priorities and to help with access.
You've just been in Canberra to have discussions about the role of horticulture. How successful were you?
A primary role is sort of getting horticulture to have a significant voice. That's working quite well. We spent a considerable amount of time with the new Assistant Agriculture Minister, Senator Ann Rustin, got very good traction there. She appreciates the need for HIA, Horticulture Innovation Australia, to work closely with a grower-owned entity because the pairing of the two, we believe, will drive horticulture forward, will set longer-term strategic objectives for horticulture from which R&D objectives can be driven, trade and marketing objectives can be driven, etc.
On Horticulture Innovation Australia, they've had a 12-month recruitment drive because they are now grower-owned as opposed to owned by all the peak industry bodies like the nuts and vegetables and fruit. Their membership drive has only succeeded in getting 2,000 growers of potentially 40,000 growers. Well, that is about 5%. How disappointing is it coming up to their first AGM?
Look, if you look at most corporate companies like BHP and others, getting members to come along to AGMs and getting members to participate, the participation rate is very low. I guess what's important is that the key major players, the ones that represent significant shares of the industry, are represented. And we believe that in the conversion to members, where they've now got about 300 members, they've probably got the top 20 to 30 players in each of the sectors. So they've got probably more than 50% of the industry in terms of economic value. They don't have, obviously, the numbers in terms of representation. But the opportunity is there for growers to participate. But we've got to remember, most of our growers, you know, often mother and father on a farm, just don't have the time to get actively involved.